pasuk.
Baruch Hashem, we are zeichet to pasuk yutes of perek yud, and the pasuk says, "Veroiv devarim lo yechdal pesha, v'chosech svasav maskil." So the Gaon says, "Beroiv dvarim lo yechdal pesha." The very fact, you know, by the way, "Beroiv dvarim" doesn't say here. Certainly, dvarim is neutral. It doesn't say negative dvarim. "Beroiv dvarim lo yechdal pesha" says the is any kind of dvarim, just that it's a lot. He says, but the Vilna Gaon uses this pasuk in the context of the psukim that he had earlier, and he says, "Beroiv dvarim lo yechdal pesha kloima acha kein." You know, the Gaon said earlier, if we remember, that a person who says something nasty with the idea that the other person won't chap, and then he does chap, and then he has to excuse himself, "I didn't mean you," and bah, meh, it never works. So he says here even more. And even if later he's nice to him and he talks nice things and he gives him compliments, but already the bubble has burst and the relationship has soured, and everything that the person who listens to all these compliments interprets them by way of, "You're a fraud, you're a chakram, you're trying to seduce me, you're trying to cajole me, you're fooling me, I know the truth, you can't stand my guts, and I don't like you either." So that's Moisif Sina instead of being Moisif Ava. It's a very interesting comment. See, a lot of times, you know, no one speaks to a chaver or to another person in a vacuum. And all of the judgments and appreciations and valuations that a person has about someone else, how Chaim Yankel thinks of Shmerel Beryl, is going to go into the interpretation that Chaim Yankel has of every word that comes out of Shmerel Beryl's mouth. We all have computers up here, and we're all busy judging. And whenever we don't judge ourselves in the negative, we are using all of that kayach for somebody else. When it comes to someone else, the default is to judge negatively. And this is especially true because most people do not have enough strength and confidence in their own worth. You see, somebody who's a fashtunken, a balgaiva, most of the time, if it's real, if the gaiva is real. Sometimes gaiva is a mask, just like bullying is a mask for a weak one. Sometimes gaiva is a mask for somebody who's really very, not an honor, but a very big shuffle. He has low self-esteem. So he's always inflating himself in front of everybody else. But if somebody's a real Baal Gaiva, he knows if he really believes it. And he's almost impervious to other people's nasty remarks. He says, "You're a shaitan. You don't understand who I am." So why should I pay any attention to what you're saying? All those negative comments are because you don't have the right perception, because you're not a Baal Madrega. If you would be on my level, you would understand who I am. So somebody who's really a fashtunken, a Baal Gaiva, is very impervious to this. Most people, Baruch Hashem, are not. And so most people have not the greatest self-esteem to begin with. And everybody finds chesronos in himself. And especially when you deal with Yiddishkeit, that's very easy to have. Because not only does the Torah insist upon anivus, but also the Torah somehow makes it easier for you to be an anav, believe it or not. Because it says, this is the bar, and you're not up there yet. And since the Torah keeps asking you to shteig and to shteig, so I know I'm not there yet, so I know that I'm lacking. Every Jew feels that he's lacking. You know, that's why psychologists say that Jews are generally very neurotic. Even Freie Jews are neurotic. It's part of their gene system. But the fact of the matter is that a neurotic person will never interpret a good comment except in the context of the previous comments. And it takes a lot for that person to have confidence that what you're saying is on the level. So when a person says the gra starts out on the wrong foot, that even the positive comments later are interpreted based on that wrong foot. And therefore it's maisif kas and maisif sina. Because the worst thing is when I think that you're baloney. It's bad enough that you're not my friend, but making believe that you're my friend. Maybe he changed. Maybe he did tshuva. Maybe he really means what he says. But that is the punishment, so to speak, of a person, especially since most of the people, the Shmerel Beryls of the world, don't feel so strong about themselves. So the chances are that they will interpret it in a negative way, even if it isn't. Kal vachomer, maybe it is. So that's what the Gaon says. The best thing is to keep your mouth shut. Best thing is not to talk so much. That way you are maskil yatzliach. Yeah? The Rabbeinu Yoina,
He says that this pasuk pushes away most roiv hadvarim. Ki ein leif ha'odah masig l'chavin machshavtoi v'lishkol daita im hadvarim. He says a very interesting thing, and this is repeated by Reb Matisyahu Aritzori. They lived around the year 1400 or so in Aragon. They have an idea which is very fascinating. The brain engages the speech mechanism, but does not have the ability to follow the logical patterns of that speech mechanism in advance. In other words, our capacity to judge what we are saying is slower than our ability to speak. So therefore, when a person talks a lot, the farthest of all those words, you can't really figure out precisely what is the right thing to say. He says the only way you can do that is if you have a lot of deliberation, which requires a lot of quiet. So a person could say, before I say my next sentence, I'm going to imagine what that next sentence should be, and is it the right thing to say, and is it the best way to say it? If everybody walked around like that, most people would hardly talk a word. No, because it takes a lot of time to figure that out. But there of klal, the mechanism of speaking, the ruach namalua, human being is a being of speech. You know, never mind that all these scientists now say that everybody speaks. The bees speak, the ants speak, the monkeys speak, and the dolphins speak, everybody speaks, the dogs speak. That's true. That's true. There are all kinds of communication. But all of that communication is dvarim teilim v'utolim compared to what we're talking about when we speak about human beings communicating. And lahefach, when human beings communicate, the world of communication is huge. And the ability to speak and to formulate sentences that are inherently logical is very easy. But it doesn't mean that what the person is saying should be said. And that's what they are all arguing. Bereiv dvarim lo yechdal pesha. It's an interesting pshat. Bereiv dvarim means bereiv dvarim. If you talk too much, your brain will, the judgment part of your brain will not be able to catch up to the production part of speech. And therefore, you're inevitably going to say things that you will later regret, or that they shouldn't have been said in any case, or they didn't need to be said. So that, take a look at Matisyahu Yitzhari. The third paragraph, the next right after Rabbeinu Yonah, on page 1. Cholamar b'dvarim, bein b'dvarim iyunim, bein b'dvarim hamonim. Mei v'chait l'fisha k'shem she'ein ha'odah margish b'tnuos ha'gufiyos, v'chol gzeru gzeru m'gzerus ha'osiyos, u'mitevel shemotzim mipiv. He says, imagine, does a person, when he speaks, realize that his lips are moving, his tongue is moving in a certain direction, that his palate is being shaped this way or that, and so on? No, of course not. Everything is completely natural. He says the way the brain formulates the sentences is also without thinking. It comes very naturally. He says, Lo yagish odom bahem kishayarba ledaber, vein sofek, shadvarim anemorim, shaloi bekavono ubemishkolos, because you can't really evaluate things. And if that's the case, ef shaloyechta bahem. One thing is inevitable, that if you don't think about what you're saying, you are definitely going to do something wrong. Some of that speech will be inappropriate. That's our pasuk. Venerally pirusho ki amaskil afilu kichoyo adova bepeu beloshon chosek svasav lohotzi adova luchutz. Even if he's smart, and even if he knows what to say, and even if he has good things to say, generally he does not say everything, and he does not say everything at once. V'chei nirali pirush. This is very interesting because, you know, a number of svar make this point. The pasuk says, "Kisitzei kohen yishmeru das v'sora yivakshu mipiyu." So there is a halacha that you're mechuyev to teach Torah, right? And there's a halacha that you're not allowed to be moneya Torah, just like a person is kol veshnevu asa. He's not allowed to be moneya Torah, and al tachzik Torah la'atz mechaki l'kach motzarda. So obviously, if the kohen has das, he's supposed to give the das out. So why does the pasuk say yishmeru das? Says Reb Matisyahu Yitzhari, because yishmeru means that he keeps it within himself. He's shomer, like a shomachino. Shomer means to preserve. So what does it mean yishmeru das? It's fasayim
Yishmeru das, it should be kisif seikoin yagidu das, or yomru das, or yabiyu das, or something like that. So he says, no. V'chei nirali pirish kisif seikoin yishmeru das, kloima, afilu hamuskol shehu yodua, even the good thought, even the Torah thought, sif seikoin yishmeruhu, ad sheyayayin eich yotziuhu. It's a gewaltig Wort.
The Kohen Shmira is, I have a responsibility to produce this Torah, but I'm not going to produce it glibly, I'm not going to produce it easily, because with that, ki berov dvorim lo yechdal pesha, even in good Torah, I will measure my words and examine my thoughts, and only afterwards do I say what I want to say. And then the Torah comes out exactly right. So that's the pshat, not ki yishmeru permanently. Yishmeru, before I let it out, there's a shmira component to my sfasayim, because I don't want to be a roiv dvorim lo yechdal pesha person. So you see that both the Rabbeinu Yonah and Rabbeinu Yonah, look at the lashon on the line that begins with the word shetzrichim in the middle of the Rabbeinu Yonah. Even good things, until he's finished thinking. Very interesting. The Rabbeinu Yonah adds the following. He says that, unlike the Yitzhari, who says that even the Kohen Yishmeru das, he says there comes a point where a person is enough of a chacham and enough of a maven dover, mitach dover, that the mechanism of the iyun in the brain is able to hold steady with the speech that comes out. It's like, in other words, you can, the godel has the capacity to develop himself so that he's able to speak more often and more quickly than the person who's a novice at this, because he's developed the koyach, what he calls maven dover mitoch dover. There's a built-in iyun in his expression. Of that, you have to be at a very, very high madrid. Okay. Now there's a very interesting thing. When we speak about speech, and we have all of these categories of speech, by the time you finish, you feel guilty every time you open up your mouth. That's the truth. I mean, the Rambam's categories that he has over here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Take a look at him in the Pirush HaMishnah. It's a very famous Rambam, you know. Matzasiv mischalik la'arboa chalokim ha'chelok ha'echad. You have it? Dibur shu'kulo nezek mibli to'elis. Kekil las odom v'daber nevola v'kayotze bohem. In other words, he's talking about a rap on the radio in the car next to me when I was by the red light. So that is kulo nezek mibli to'elis. Shamira ze shigon gomur. It's altogether an insanity. Vachelik hasheni. Dibur shabo nezek mitzad echot v'toelis mitzad acher. Keshevach odom kedei lekabel toelis mimenu. V'yia shevachahu bashevachu mashiyachis esono. V'yazik ze loze sheshibcho. Says like this. Person wants to give a compliment because he wants to make nice. He wants some benefit from it. Meanwhile, the other fellow's antagonist listens to the compliment, and he gets very incensed. And he says to himself, you're talking nicely about that, Oisvar? And he gets more upset and more angry, and he wants to do that fellow damage. So there's a toelis for you, but and maybe there's even a toelis for the person who hears the compliment, that it's a compliment. And maybe you mean it's a compliment, but the fact is that it's leading to damage. It's like Mavarich Reyehu B'kol Godel Baboka Hashtayim is Kvolo Yechoshev Lo, and so on. So, you know, you have the Aniyim go around telling their fellow Aniyim, oh, this person, what a savant he is. It was in the middle of the night, I came to him, he gave me a whole supper, and he put me to sleep, and in the morning he gave me $500. The next day, of course, there's 200 Aniyim at this fellow's house, waiting to be treated exactly in the same way. So this is the nezek mitzad echad. Then he says chelak hashlishi dibur she'ein boi loy toyalas v'loy nezek ki dibur roiv diburei ha'amon
tell me, who built this building? How was it built? Ech nivna chaymes ha'ir, ech nivna armon ploni. This house is so beautiful. Look at the balustrades. Look at the carpeting. Right, Paris Medina Plainus, and look at this. This is fruit that's coming from Italy. The Kayotza ba'elim b'dibure ha'maiseros. He says that's stam gedreit da'kop, but it doesn't do any harm. Nor does it have any plus. It's interesting. He doesn't consider, and this is a very important yisoid in the Rambam's Hashkofa also, he doesn't consider social relationships to be cemented by this kind of innocent, irrelevant speech, which is a very interesting thing. You know, most women, if you will, Chazal say Dabronios, saying, and Chazal say that they saved us from the Chayta Egel and they saved us from the Chayta Meragim. It's very interesting. It really is. So that when it comes to the Lamaisa, they seem to have this very strong sense of what's the right thing and not to get involved. But when it comes to speech, the social networking that's inherent in being a woman is radically different than a man. A man needs to get a telephone number from his friend. He says, Yankel, you have Shmero Bell's phone number? The other guy says, I'll take a look. He goes, comes back 2 minutes later, 258-7777. Thanks. That's the conversation. It never lives more than 30 seconds. And his wife needs a telephone number. He calls the other guy's wife. He says, Chana, you have maybe Sprintz's phone number? What do you need Sprintz's phone number for? Or, do you have Sprintz's phone number? She says, no, but I can give you Leia's. or, you know, yeah, I'll give it to you. But by the way, I'm cooking something. Maybe you could give me some advice. Or whatever it is. Anyhow, the bottom line, you get the picture. I remember that, this is a Maisa Shahaya. We were standing on line when we still had the pay phones, and it was in a chasana. It had one pay phone. The line was about 7 or 8 people long. And this lady is on the phone nonstop for 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. People are trying to be meramis to her in a nice way, and she's completely oblivious to anything. And she's obviously not just finding out from the babysitter if everything's okay, because that takes 20 seconds. So the fellow in front of me, a choshev rav, turns to me and says, you know, I'll tell you the truth. My wife, she can be on the phone for 15 minutes only to discover that it's a wrong number. I hope he made it up. Anyhow, the untish the shura is, there is a tremendous positive quality according to all the sociologists about this mahalach. Because the mahalach creates relationships and it fosters connections. And even if it's not relevant at this moment, it's like divrei Torah nim b'mokam echad v'ashirim b'mokam achar. Men are straight to the point because, interestingly enough, speech is alien to them unless there's an agenda. And I think that's the point. That when they get involved in an agenda, then they start hacking a chaydik in a very bad way. But the women, they're not so agenda-oriented as much as the speech is simply a natural thing. That's what the Chazal meant by the Pishuk Avin. Not we notion. Really. It's exactly the Nakuda. There's a relationship mechanism that men don't generally use. And that's the way it is. So a man can have a friend who's a chavrusa. Women have friends. They have friends. It's a different concept altogether. Anyhow, this Beroiv Dvarim, according to the Rambam, he's not Goyris that parsha altogether. That's what I wanted to print out. He doesn't consider that useful. Interesting. He doesn't consider it useful. He says that the speech that's not damaging nor productive, like how is the house built and, you know, the color scheme of the living room, this, he says, is nothing. And that's rove of people's speech. Hare, yeah. Then he says, the dibur that's ein tayelas boy. A chelukar vi, dibur shu kulay tayelas, ke dibur b'chochmais u b'maylois, b'dibur ha'odam b'mashem yuchad loy mashem b'kiyum chaya v'hemshech mitziyusai. He includes things that are necessary for the business activity that he does, the production that he creates, and so on. tell a person how to plant and how to harvest, tell a person how to conduct the business, run the store. This is all tayelis. And of course, Torah and mitzvahs and tefillah, halachas kam v'kam. So in all of that, you have a lot of speech.
So even though we are trained and we are told that eilecha yofem ishsika, mila b'sela mashtukisa betrain,
that if a word is worth a sela, then silence is worth two slav.
And on a whole bunch. But there's a very interesting Yalkut Shemayni, a fascinating Yalkut Shemayni.
And Yalkut Shemayni makes it clear that even though all that we've said is true, and that we should limit our speech and be careful about what we say, but speech itself is a critical nekuda and should not be dismissed. We do not expect the world to suddenly become silent like the lights go out when the electricity goes off. You don't become silent. So how does the Medrash make that point? With a very interesting vignette, a little story. The Medrash in the Yalkut Shemayni, Tadabe Miriam V'Aray, Zeh Shama HaKosav Baroiv Dvorim Lo Yechdal Pesha, V'Choysech Sfosav Maskil. Mi Shechoysech Sfosav Miladabe B'Chaveroi, Maskil. Miladabe B'Chaveroi, not Im Chaveroi.
So the emphasis of this Medrash is that you're not supposed to speak about other people.
But speech itself is a critical necessity. What makes me say that? The next line says, Amar Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Kol Yomai Gidalti Bein HaChachomim, V'lo Matzotzi Laguf, Toiv Mishtika. Amar Raboseinu.
Now this Amar Raboseinu, we don't see clearly the connection. Is it a corroboration of Rabban Gamliel? Is it Reb Shimon Gamliel, or is it a reaction to Reb Shimon Gamliel, or is it a new statement altogether? But let's see what it says.
Amar Raboseinu Shnei Dekologin Hoyo Omdim Lifnei Adrianus. These are two logos is the word.
In fact, the Decalogue, what we have by the Goyim, it's called the Decalogue. It comes from Deca, which is 10. And logos, which is word, Aseres HaDvarim, Aseres HaDibros, is the Decalogue. But Decalogan is not Decalogue, it's the people who are, prominent individuals.
So Shnei Decalogan was standing in front of the emperor, Andrianus. And he engaged them in a whole discussion. What was it about? One of them said that the best thing in the world is speech.
He said,
that speech is nothing, silence is golden. Right? Mari, ein toiv min adibur. Ilule adibur, heich hakalos miskalsos. How can you ever have anybody praise the young women who get married? Veheich hayamasu matan ba'ilam. He said, the whole world would come to an end if you stopped talking.
The whole of communication is speech. So this is a very interesting consequence. Says miyad amalei shehoy laisa shehoy malamid al shtika shehoy yafa
heichat olamid al shtika. He says this person made a very imposing argument. It was really a very powerful argument
on behalf of speech. So now that you think that silence is so great, it's your responsibility to produce an argument on behalf of silence.
So he says, "Hey, chatolamid ala shtika, miyad bo ledaber." He started talking about the benefits of shtika. So in order to talk about the benefits of shtika, he had to talk. Amad oisay shahaya malamid ala diba v'satra al piv.
So the other fellow, his colleague, who was speaking so nicely about speech, came and gave him a patch and punim.
Amalei HaMelech Lama Satarto, so why are you giving him a patch and punim? Amalei Mori, Ani Lamadati Min HaDibur Al HaDibur. I'm the professor of Dibur, so I speak and tell you about Dibur. V'zeh Shabol Lamed Mishali Al Shalo. And he's using my Dibur to explain the benefits of Shesika. That's a chutzpah. He entered into my domain, I gave him a patch. So it's a fascinating, it's a medrash. It sounds like it's a comedy. Amalei Mori Anila Madati Min Adibur Al Adibur Vezeba Lalamin Mishali Al Shaloi. Ama Shloimai Le Ama Hakadosh Baruch Hu Sheta Alein Picha Veshete Yoshe Veshoise Kecheresh. You see, the Medrash fears us exactly this point. When it says that shesika is good, it does not mean a tiny steeple for the rest of your life. The whole of society would fall apart, and the whole greatness of the human being is leruach memalulo, not leruach shosek. But it's roiv dvarim or medaber bichaveroi. So v'shoyelo v'choisech sfosav milasiach bichaveroi tein dait choshalo teyonesh. And of course, that's hachaim v'amavis piyad alosha.
That's exactly it. It can go either way.
Ein lecha gadol me'ar no Miriam, ha-be'er ole u'mashke es Yisroel b'schus Miriam, v'anei ha-kovod ma'kifin es Yisroel b'schus Aaron, v'kevon sh'nit nosnu rishus b'fiyem, v'hisichu b'moyshe, lo'y shasati lohem. Omer e'baba b'akano maksiv l'malu min ha'inyon es f'lishiv imish v'chulu v'chulu. So anyhow, this is the nekuda that this medrash is making clear, that there's no attempt here to make silence the foundational principle of life. It can't be. Speech has to be the foundational principle, but the argument is only against all the speech that is inappropriate, unnecessary, and hurtful. So that's what he says. This medrash, interestingly enough, is brought in the psicha of the Prima Gadol. The Prima Gadim has a very fascinating psicha, and in this psicha he talks about the great benefit of printers and how it's wonderful that he says Yashakoicham Shalamatfisim, because we have very easy to forget, and a lot of sforim that were written in manuscript that were completely forgotten and lost, and now that we have printing, the possibility of expanding people's libraries and having this forum available is gewaltig. Then he quotes Sefer HaNechmad Yad Yosef. So he says, the Sefer HaNechmad Yad Yosef Anal Parsha Shlach, B'Shem Medrash Mishlei Al HaPosuk, Ar Posuk, B'Roiv Dvorim Lo Yecht Al Pesha, Hevi Beis Melitzim. See? The Decalogian. Melitzim, like a Melitz Yosha. Advocates. It's an advocate. He's advocating for speech, and the other one's advocating for silence. He's paraphrasing the Prima God. You and Shem Yafe. The same pronunciation, it's a play on words. It's fascinating. You know what the Prima Gadim is doing over here? He's saying like this. Maybe it would have been better for me not to write altogether. So he says, no, that's not so. Because communication is essential. And printing is gewaldic. And Ayit says, yeah. So you have to know what to write and how to write it. But the idea that you should refrain from writing, no. He says, and furthermore, he says, in the same way that shesika is not good if it becomes your yesod principle, so too saying things is not good if you can convey it better by writing it down. So this is almost the mirror image of the famous Zog of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, "Nicht alles was mitrach darf man zogen, und nicht alles was man zog darf man schreiben, und nicht alles was man schreibt darf man lehnen." So, you know, not everything that you think are you supposed to say. Sometimes thoughts should remain inside, and not everything that a person says should he publish, should he write down. Leman yamdu yomim rabin. And it should not have that public exposure. So when somebody writes a letter, you know, I'm a very, very big fan of the Lashon Sahinoha, the letters to the editor of every single newspaper. It doesn't matter what newspaper it is. From Min HaKotze LaKotze, English, Yiddish, French, Chinese, it makes no difference to me. Letters to the editor are inevitably a source of all kinds of negative things.
And I'll go into it.
But anybody that's truly honest believes that. And I also believe that, certainly in most cases, Das Teure Hein, Das Teure Morgen. Nobody's submitting an entire newspaper to the scrutiny of a God of Israel. They don't have the time for it, whether they have the interest in it. And it's very hard to know whether that Godel would be maskim to that particular letter and the way it was written. In any case, it's not negeya to me. What's negeya to me is this. The reason that letters to the editor are so popular is because that's what sells the newspaper. People read that and the advertisements and they're finished. It's the way it is. And that's because people are yentis. And they want to know what's going on and what people have to say. And of course, when a person publishes something, it's forever. And it goes to thousands of families. And in certain newspaper circulation, maybe tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So this nekuda of the of print, you know, we speak a lot of times about it in a negative sort of way. And that is the union that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, Nishtalsmus mezogtav medmen schreiben, or dafmen schreiben. The Prima Godim is taking the same nekuda that spreading something to the far and the wide is done through print much better than through speech. They didn't have in those days all of these tape recordings and all of the downloads. So print was the way to communicate in the masses. And he takes it and makes of it a positive thing. You write Torah, you keep it to yourself, you publish it, you give it out to the world. And that's why he brought this medrash right before he says, and that's why I'm writing my Sefer publishing. Fascinating. This is without the Madura Kami had already put it out the Sefer. Anyhow, this is the very, very interesting. Very interesting. Okay, we will stop here.